I wanted to do this. I wanted to be a person with a book, and I wanted to have my work out in the world in this like very tangible way. Like the purpose of the book is very much like a companion to working with me, or even like a replacement to working with me if that's not possible. It's like kind of how to intimacy coach yourself. And it's like, I want that to exist. Like this is like a deep desire. Why am I sabotaging it? But also, it's like just with anything around pleasure, it's like scary to be a woman who's getting what she wants, like in our society, especially.
Okay, welcome back to the Joyous Path to Millions. I secretly love doing this podcast because I get to meet cool people. I get to learn more about them. And then occasionally when I just like have my besties on the show, it's the most fun. So that's what we're doing today. And before I turn the mic over, just a quick hello in case you're new to the show. I'm your host, Emily June Wilcox. I'm a money healer and business mentor. I help women heal their money wounds to call in more new paradigm wealth, build abundant businesses that they love, and walk the joyous path to millions. So I really believe that doing this work helps the whole planet, and that is what I'm here for. And along my journey in my own self-development and the places that I invest, the containers that I put myself into, I met the gorgeous Kimberly Rose Pendleton, and we just hit it off and forged a beautiful relationship. We've since been in some other masterminds and containers together. We've like done our own retreats. We've done collab programs. And I feel so grateful that you're in my life. So Kimberly, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I am so excited to be here.
Yes. And you've come on once before, but it felt like it was time again because now you've written and published a book. And I feel like what better than doing like a podcast tour to promote your book?
Yes, please. No, I'm so glad to be back. I feel like it builds so well on our last episode. And like, yeah, it's just always fun to come talk to you. Like you said, the fact that we can get away with this as work is just like the best.
I know. It is. I don't even remember what we talked about in our last episode, but I feel like we're probably different people now, but in a good way, in a better way. We're upgraded. Yeah. And you know, you and I were in a mastermind together while you were writing this book. And now she's here. Can you just talk a little bit about what that process was like for you?
Yeah, I would love to. I would say like one of the things I was most surprised by was how much of the work was like getting myself into a space where I could write. Like I was really shocked how even for me, my work is so much on pleasure and desire. And I like really desired to write this book. It still was like something I had to kind of fight resistance around and build into my schedule. Like I joke with my clients, like I think it took me like a year to start taking Fridays off to write. And then like once I had that habit of like writing Fridays, which became a thing for me, it got so much easier. But it was like, oh, the hard part is like making the space to tell these stories, not actually the like writing itself necessarily.
Yeah.
But as one of our friends pointed out to me, like she considers all of that writing, like even just like working to let yourself have the Friday is still part of the writing process. So that was really helpful. But yeah, it took me a long time because of that.
Yeah.
And then I do feel like once I started to hit that momentum and especially like got close to the end, I could just see it and I was so ready and it did help a lot.
It makes a lot of sense. I kind of experienced the same because I'm still writing right now, but I read the book 10X is easier than 2X. And in part of it, he talks about like he calls it a maker's schedule. And when you're doing like deeply creative work, even just having one fucking thing on your calendar that day ruins the vibe.
Yeah.
It's like you can't fully be in the writing because you're like checking the time to be like, oh, well, but I have that one meeting at 1 p.m.
Exactly. Yeah. It's the worst if it's like mid-afternoon. That definitely kills the day.
Yeah. And so I really resonated with that. And of course, also resisted it. But that was what I needed, was like to really carve out the deep time and to make it the priority of the day, because then I could see all my procrastination. Before, it's like I was procrastinating it, but it was like too well hidden behind other important work things.
Yes.
Yeah. And then it's like, I don't know if you had this, but I mean, there is a part of me sometimes that like kind of secretly wants to schedule something on a Tuesday just because I don't really want to write, even though the writing's not that hard. So did you ever have that with your Fridays where you like had things that you wanted to put in there?
Yeah. Or like I would be responding to clients in Voxer, which is the app that I use to message them. They'd be like, hey, wait a minute. You're not supposed to be in here. It's Friday. Like, you're supposed to be writing. And I was like, yes, I'm like in my noble procrastination by like helping you. It's like, I am, like avoiding this thing. And it's interesting because a lot of what I work on as an intimacy coach are like the ways we self-sabotage pleasure, the ways we self-sabotage like intimacy with ourselves. So like, of course, that is like what this was too. Like, I wanted to do this. I wanted to be a person with a book, and I wanted to have my work out in the world in this like very tangible way. Like, the purpose of the book is very much like a companion to working with me, or even like a replacement to working with me if that's not possible. It's like kind of how to intimacy coach yourself. And it's like, I want that to exist. Like, this is like a deep desire. Why am I sabotaging it? But also it's like, just with anything around pleasure, it's like scary to be a woman who's getting what she wants, like in our society especially. And like, there is some identity work to step into, I find, at every level of that fulfillment process of like, am I allowed to let it be this good? Okay, how about this? Am I allowed to have a 7-figure business and a published book? I don't know. Like, is that too much now? Like, oh, and I am like happily married, you know, just like upper limit after upper limit of like, can I really have that too? I don't find often, at least not with my clients and friends, that it's just like a lack of discipline. You know, I'm like, oh, that would be so easy. It's like, if it were just that, I think we would like have figured it out.
Totally. One of my coaches called it protective procrastination. And I was 100%. Like, oh, I love that label, because it's like, what am I protecting myself from right now?
100%. I like to ask, what is this getting me out of? And what am I getting out of this? And like, both of those together always give me like mostly unwanted clarity, but like very deeply helpful.
Yeah, I know. It's so annoying because you're like, damn it. It's just this again.
I know. Like, just like using my own uncovered tools on myself, like back to chapter one, basically. But it's so good too, because you're like, oh, right. Like, we don't stop being human. We just get more fluent in the language of like how all this works, and like can maybe bring less judgment and shame to working it, and just like, let it melt.
Well, and it obviously worked for you because the book is published, but I'm curious, was there ever like, as you were dissecting any of the resistance, was there ever a piece of it that was like, oh, people won't join my program now, like they'll just read the book? Because I'm finding like a little bit of that with myself around writing the Money Wounds book.
That is so interesting. Yeah, I know what you mean, because it is partly my hope that like this would be an entry point into working with me, so that if people read the book and loved it and wanted to do more, it would like lead to more. But of course, there's like a possibility they'd be like, that was great, I'm complete.
Yeah, check. Yeah,
but I will say, like, that fear, which is so normal and like familiar, seems like the same one about like our social media and giving high value in our emails. Like, it is a little easier in a book, I think, but still, like, my deep belief is just like, they're going to love us. They're just going to love us more. And every little taste is just like more to love. And they're just going to be like, I can't get enough. I even feel this way about my security for my courses is not like necessarily top notch. Like I upload most of it to YouTube so that people can see subtitles. And like you could easily share that for free with other people. Right. I've just installed this belief that like if that happens, whoever it's stolen by is going to love me even more and buy something else and just like love to give me even more.
Yeah, I love that. What I've actually noticed is I feel like there's a lot of energetic protection around it even happening. Even when I've been in paid programs and there's been something I really loved and I'm like, Jeff, like, will you watch this with me? It's like, for some reason, it never happens. And so I think it is really hard to prioritize it when you aren't the person paying for it. And that to me didn't feel in any way like stealing or whatever. It was like, it just felt like this is related to wealth and like wealth impacts our whole family. And like, I would love for Jeff to hear this. And even he was like on board with it. It wasn't like he said no. He said yes. And still somehow it never happened. And I swear it's just energetic protection.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. Yeah. I think that it makes a ton of sense. And I can see, I've like done some work in the last few years about like trying to use less of just like a belief that like me working hard is what is the engine behind my success, and like try to rest a little more on like what I call like kind of my divine marketing team to just like hand deliver the right Instagram post to the right person or whatever. Like, I don't get a ton of visibility because I'm always saying words like sex and Instagram and Facebook are like, we hate this. So I'm like, okay, divine marketing.
You're like, yes, but the people on your platform love it.
Yes. And I'm like, oh, great. You're censoring me, but like Nazis are allowed to say whatever they want. Cool.
Right,
but I'm like, okay, I just need my like divine team to get me through the blockers and like deliver this to like one person who needs it.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to enlist them for the book too.
Okay. I'm obsessed with that. I'm going to write that down because I've got like my own design weekly planner here. Yes. And there's a spot for the universe's to-do list. So now I'm going to put on the universe's to-do list, be my divine marketing team.
Yes.
Because then I'll remember it and I can write it down for next week's too when I transfer things over. That's so cute. Okay. So how is your divine marketing team going? Like how are they doing a good job on your book?
Okay. Actually, this is so fun. We planned this episode already, but we just hit 100 book sales, which was a big goal for me.
Congrats.
And it's so fun. It was like in the last couple of days. So it's like perfect timing to be coming on and celebrating. I will also say one of the main, you're like not going to be surprised to hear this at all, I don't think, but like one of the main motivators that I used to finish was like setting up the book launch party. I was like, if I know that that's coming and like, I wanted it to be on my birthday and I knew like either way it'll be my birthday so we can celebrate something, but I'd really like to have like the book printed and done. And it was a real working backwards from celebrating both for the 100 books and just like having it be out in the world have both been just like such great ways to like work with myself where like I don't do that well with like super strict deadlines or any kind of punishment. My like inner teenager is like, don't tell me what to do. But if it's like, you got to wear a pretty dress and like have fancy cake and celebrate that you did this, I'm much more likely to get it done.
That is genius. You're like, I just planned the party. So then the book being completed is just really one piece of the party.
Exactly. Like it just has to get done. And the truth is, I am sure that there are going to be a lot of iterations of the book. And I'm sure like everything I do, like I'm going to go back through it and be like, like I would say that differently now. And I would like, oh, here's a typo. And I really was motivated to just get it out. And that has been a big philosophy in my business too, where I just decided a few years ago, like the rough draft is allowed to help people. And like when I was making a sales page, which have always been nightmares, or like even writing posts, and I kind of had this feeling like if I go back through with a fine tooth comb for edits, I'm not going to publish this at all because I'm scared.
Right.
So I'm just going to like trust the rough draft and like come back when I can and everything's kind of evolving. And who knows if maybe like a few people have like drifted away from my world because it's a little chaotic. I think so many more have been like, I'm just glad to have found this and to have found you. And then I've even heard from people like, mistakes are helpful because it just like humanizes the whole experience. And when you're talking about intimacy, I think even those little cues of like, you're talking to a real person who makes mistakes actually can be like a little bit of a safety thing. So anyway, it was really interesting to like put that into practice here too. And to know like, this is version one, it's probably going to change a little bit.
Right.
But like, in the meantime, 100 people have it. And like, that means something to me.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I feel like I'm getting an unofficial coaching session, which is super helpful because, because it really is true. Like I'm having these moments with my book where it's like, okay, yes, I know I could expand so much in this one direction. And also if I'm being real with myself, like the amount of research that I'm going to have to do in order to get it to like what my level would be, it's probably going to slow the whole thing down. Maybe shelve it for a while. So can we just be okay with where it's at right now? Trust that it will get better over time. Yeah.
That reminds me of a joke from my PhD program, which was told to people like close to the end. It was like, what do you call the person with the worst dissertation in the class? And it was like, doctor, like just get it done.
Yes.
Like, okay, this is helpful. Yeah.
That's amazing. I know. It's like my view of you is that writing is so effortless for you, that you really like it and that it's easy. I don't know. Do you feel that way?
That's actually,
I feel like
question.
You have a lot to say and that you enjoy using writing as a medium to say it.
I definitely think those two are true. I have been shocked by the blocks that have come up, especially in different like platforms. And I don't know if this is going to land for you or for anybody listening, but like, I feel, I guess, like I now have so much practice writing to sell my programs and writing kind of quippy little social media posts and even getting quite vulnerable. Like in my social media, I talk about religious trauma and sexual assault and flirting and all kinds of stuff. So I really thought I was like down to share like anything. And then when I started working on books, I ended up feeling like, oh my gosh, there are like whole sections of my life that I kind of freely share on social media, but that disappear in like 24 hours. Like, I think there's something about that disposable cycle that makes it feel kind of safe. Like, who will even see this? Versus like, oh, if I were to write like a memoir, which I kind of feel like is the next thing I'm going to be working on, that's like suddenly coming up against some fear of visibility that I still have to work on. And that was really fascinating just to uncover like, oh, there's more. I sort of thought I was more brazen than I think I actually am, because I'm like, lingerie on the internet, that's no problem. But like writing something in a book, for some reason, it just had like a little bit more coming up for me, especially around church stuff. I noticed it was like, I think I could imagine church people finding it more easily than like, I guess I don't think they follow me on Instagram. I don't know. I've got like blocks to work through for sure.
I mean, it is fascinating how that stuff comes up where you're like, oh, I didn't know this was here. Ooh, well, there it is. But I do think as I'm like feeling into it for myself, a book definitely feels like way more permanent.
And like somehow it's like, more vulnerable. Like I could block someone on Instagram, but I can't like block them from buying my book. At least then you get So I don't know. Maybe it's all a wash.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, it's true. And it does like feel like, I also think with online, it's a little bit easier to be like, oops, I was drunk or I was mad or I was like whatever.
Delete.
But in a book, like no one, that's not going to fly. Like, You published it in a book. Yeah, I know. I was delusional at the time. I don't know what I was thinking.
No, totally. Totally. Yeah, it's so funny, isn't it? And like ways that like I do think looking at my business where vulnerability is like one of my central marketing tactics, like I just would never have thought like, oh, you still have a lot of visibility work to do. But turns out it's fucking endless.
You're like, but I'll find a way.
Yeah. It's like, no. Oh, more to uncover. All right. Back to the beginning. Yeah.
Yep. Well, and your book for everyone listening is called Get Uncovered, A Guide to Intimacy, Authenticity, and Pleasure. So yeah, you can just read your book.
It's work true. The tools. There's space in there to answer some questions. I'm like, yeah, this is for me. Like, I also need to go through this again and again.
I love that. So you've got like some like journal prompt action going on in there.
Yeah. And it was really important to me to make it a size that was like good to write in. It's like big and opens and lays flat. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
When you get these like flimsy little things that you like can't open. It's like, I hate it.
Totally. If it's more of like a workbook, it's got to be a different size for sure than like a paperback novel.
100%. Very crucial. I also splurged on the paper. I was like, we're going nice. I want to write on something nice.
Yeah. You're like, I'm a paper snob.
Exactly. Yeah. If I could have picked out the pens that went with it for everyone, I probably would have.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, probably your inner middle schooler would have loved that because I notice my kids want to go to the book fair when it comes to school. And I'm always like, okay, like on surface, willing to support it. And then we go to the book fair and it's like, they actually only want the one that like comes with a cool pen or that has like a tiny little toy or it's like, it's like a journal, but it has like a little chintzy lock with it.
Things go with it. It's so funny, isn't it? Yeah.
I'm like, we're really just toy shopping at this point.
Right.
But it kind of is. Yeah, but there is like a little inner child inside of us that's like, but I want it to be pretty and it needs to feel good.
Totally, totally.
So for everyone listening, you can buy Kimberly's book and it'll be great paper. And you can DM her for a pen recommendation.
I have strong feelings. No, I love that. Yeah, I would love for people to buy it. I'd love to hear what they think. And yeah, it's just so fun to be able to come talk about it. And for anybody writing their own book, like I want to know about that too.
Yeah. So like, who's your dream customer? Who's buying this book?
Yeah. I think one dream customer is definitely like a younger version of me. When I think about what I ended up going through in the process that like now feels like it's become my body of work, it was this like 10-year stumble around in the dark, it felt like, of like trauma healing and pleasure exploration and intimacy work. And like, I was kind of recreating my identity after a huge breakup and like trying to figure out like who I was. And I really think if I had had this book, I would have saved like a down payment on a house in coaching. I mean, I have no regrets, but like, I think that there is a version of me who would have been like intimidated, but enchanted by something like this, especially in that moment. I had like left a pretty high control religion, left a pretty toxic marriage, and I felt kind of like a blank canvas. Like, I was like, I've systematically not known what I wanted or who I was for years to sort of like follow the good girl rules. Like, a book like this that would have led me back to me and to being like not just suspicious of pleasure, but actually like open to it, I think would have really, really helped. It might have avoided a few ex-boyfriends also had I read this. And then, you know, another version of my ideal reader is somebody who's been in my world already and just wants it all in one place. And that is mm-hmm. the feedback I'm getting too from clients who are just like, oh, this is so nice. All the intimacy wound work, all the trauma response work, all the pleasure practices, like just kind of a roadmap to some of the things when you don't necessarily want to go through, like my business model includes a lot of online courses. And it's like, that's great if you've got like the whole year to go through each course in the academy. And it's like, not as easy if you just want to flip to the one thing that you're like dealing with that day. So it does feel kind of helpful for that too, this sort of reference book and like companion.
Yeah, that makes total sense. It reminds me what Christians will often do, where it's like you just open the Bible and like point at a verse, right? And honestly, it's like, this must be what I needed today.
Yeah, let this be your quiet time reading. Just like light a candle and flip open your Uncover book and have a really pleasurable day.
You're like, what am I going to get today? Am I going to get a pleasure practice? Or am I going to get a little trauma healing? We don't know until we open.
I'll take it. Yeah. You lead me, universe. Yeah.
Amazing. Okay. So where can people buy the book?
Yes.
What are some next steps? Where can they connect with you?
Yes. Thank you so much for asking this. So there is a link to buy the book, even on my own website. It's just KimberlyRosePendleton.com/book. So it's easy to remember. And then I also do have a free Facebook group, Pleasure is Power. The book link is in there, and a few free courses of mine are in there. So if people are feeling like they don't necessarily just want to do like this reading alone, but want a little bit more of like community and who else is reading this and who else is talking about these things, you can come kind of book club it up in the Facebook group.
Amazing. Yes, I love that so much. And just as a final question, what does it look and feel like for you to be on your joyous path to millions?
Yeah, I think the book is a big part of it, actually. Like, I think so far, you know, we've been at $1 million in revenue for a few years now, but it's been with a pretty small audience, like a kind of tight-knit group of people who stay. And I think this book and like this year is a little bit more like willingness to be like, what if I reach more people, strangers even, people who I might not know already. And like maybe the next million comes from like a wider audience who I do, you know, when I'm feeling brave, I want to reach. And even though I know it'll probably come with more criticism and more people who don't agree and whatever, it's like worth it to get to the people who I'm looking for.
Yes, absolutely. I love that vision so much. I love you. I love your work. So please, for everyone listening, if you're not already connected to Kimberly and her work, use the links in the show notes. Get into her free community, follow her on Instagram, buy her book. If this is your first dip the toe into this intimacy work, it's a wonderful place to start. And you can thank me later. You can thank Kimberly later, because her work really does change lives. And I'm just so glad to call you a friend. Thank you so much for coming on the show. Thank you to everyone listening.
Thank you for having me.
I love you too. All right. Talk to you all soon. You guys obviously know I love that, as I like melted into a little love puddle at the end of that conversation. But honestly, it's like one of the gifts, and I'm glad that I get to show what it looks like to have women supporting other women and building genuine relationship. Like, I'm flying up to Kimberly's house for a visit in March, and it's such a gift. It's such a gift to get to do business and life together and have people in our corner that really care about us and are cheering us on. And so I'm lucky to be one of those people for Kim, and that she is for me too. So I loved our conversation. Definitely go get Kimberly's book. Go join her Facebook community. She's also on Instagram at Dr. Kimberly Rose. I'm on Instagram at MMakesMoney. So you can tag us both. Let us know your top takeaways. Here are mine. I thought there were some really good questions to ask ourselves as we're in a creative process. So number one was, does it get to be this good? Asking ourselves that question and getting honest, like, where are we creating an upper limit? Where are we putting a ceiling on ourselves and how much we get to have and enjoy in our life? Number two, the concept of protective procrastination. So most of us go into entrepreneurship because we know how to get shit done. We know how to take action. And so when we're procrastinating, it's not usually that we're undisciplined and we just would rather be laying around on the couch doing nothing. It's usually that it is protecting us from something. And so understanding that concept and getting curious is helpful, which leads me to number three, that question of asking yourself, what am I getting out of this? So if you're procrastinating, if you're keeping your calendar full, like, how is this serving me? What is it protecting me from? What am I getting out of it? Those questions will go a long way. Takeaway number four, leveraging your divine marketing team. I love that concept so much, and it's such a beautiful reminder that it's not all on us. In fact, the vast majority is not on us. As Abraham Hicks says, humans, I love you so much, and you vastly overestimate your doing in the manifestation equation. It's like our action taking as on the human plane is not the biggest part of us getting what we want. And number five, everything is intimacy work. And that is something that Kimberly reminds me of again and again and again. And it's like even asking those questions, like, what am I getting out of this? It's intimacy with self. It's really knowing ourselves and understanding not just the socially acceptable parts of ourselves, but our shadow, the part of us that's struggling, our inner child, like all of these pieces. And if you're wanting to delve more into intimacy work, I think you already know how highly I think of Kimberly and her work. And I highly, you know, I just can't say enough good words about what she's doing and what you would get out of being in her world. So as always, thank you so much for tuning into this show. Thank you for making this a top 3% global podcast. Holy moly. And I am already visioning us into being a top 1% podcast. So I have put that out into the universe as a manifestation that I am calling in. So you get to help with that. If you so desire, you get to co-create that with me. And every time you tune in, anytime you leave a review, anytime you share this show, it makes a tremendous difference and it helps get us there. So believe it or not, it actually doesn't take a whole lot more subscribers and a whole lot more shares of this show to put us into the top 1%. So I know we can do it. All right. Thank you so much for tuning in and I will talk to you soon. Oh, my next interview is with the founder and CEO of Unapologetic Wealth. So does this sound perfect for this show or what? Her name is Natalie Bullen, and she is also a sales and pricing expert. She does not mince words. She has a lot to say about women and wealth and how we price ourselves in our business and how we sell. So make sure that you tune into that episode. All right, talk to you soon. Bye. Listeners like you have made this a top 3% global podcast. So thank you so much for tuning in. Please like, subscribe, share, and leave a review. I also love hearing listener feedback. So feel free to slide into my DMs on Instagram at @mmakesmoney. If you would like to explore hiring me as your money healer and business mentor, hit the link in the show notes or head to explore.emilywilcox.com. Until next time, I'm sending you all the magic money vibes on your joyous path to millions.